Good morning. My dad used to say that Grandpa was slow, but that's because he's old. So maybe that's where I'm at today. It's really good to be with you. It's been a while, I think, and I have been in contact with your pastor this morning. He did send me a text and said he was praying for y'all. They are in Minnesota, best I could tell. He sent Shirley sent us some pictures yesterday of the good time they were having, so I thank God, and I hope that they make it home safely. We are on the highway, used to be a lot, and realized that things can happen. We had an accident, and our address is actually Walnut Grove. We don't live in Walnut Grove, we live up in Polk County, but our address is Walnut Grove, and there was a bad wreck there this week, and people got killed, and I really hate it, but, you know, it just is what it is, and we can't help it. I got some of my family with me today, so if you haven't met them, get around and see them. My wife of 9,000 years, I mean 50 years, and my grand, and when you say granddaughter, the word grand is in uppercase, daughter, so, and I don't care much for her, she's, you know, I'm just kidding, she's apple of my eye. I'd like to call your attention this morning to Genesis chapter 1. What's on our heart, it may not take long, and we may be here a while, who knows. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, 2, and just 1 and 2 and 3, maybe 4, who knows. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I think I'll cease my reading there because what's on our heart is within those verses. Also, if you'd like to go with me over to John chapter 1, I can find it here in my Bible. John chapter 1 and in verse 1, it says, if I can get to it here, these pages still stick together as old as this Bible is. One more page. Here we go. In John 1 and chapter 1 and verse 1, it kind of refers back to what I just read to you. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." What my thought is this morning, just for a little bit, is, who is this God that you worship? I mean, you know, this is church. You are the church, by the way. I was always wrong in saying, I'm going to go to church. Well, the church isn't this building. Sorry. You are the church. You are the church of God. When you join, if you're a member of this church, you are still the church. I am the church. Brother Paul is the church. It says, "In the beginning, God." Now, when we look at this God that we talk about and we preach about and that we pray to and all this, we're not just talking about one deity, one entity. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God, the Father, created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on down in the second verse and says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And it also says in the next verse that, and God said. So let's look at those three. God the Father. God was the part that said, because over here I said was in the beginning was the Word, which stands for Jesus Christ. If you look it up, study it. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And it also says right here that all things were made by Him. Now, how can that be? How can three be one and one be three? You see, the Bible tells us that His ways and His thoughts are far above ours. There's a lot of things about God that I just don't understand. Why He would save a wretch like me. Why that He keeps blessing me, though that I'm just human. Simple flesh. You know, we always say that we're just sinners saved by grace. Which is true. Because the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved. This is over in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. That's verse 8 and verse 9 in chapter 2. Says, not of works, lest any should boast. So it's nothing that we do. Some people think that you have to be baptized to be saved. Some things you have to give money to the church. Some thing that you have to do good deeds and on and on and on. The only thing I know about salvation is the night that He saved my soul back in 1965. A lot of you weren't even around yet. I was. In 1965, when God saved my soul that night, on a Thursday night at True Hope Missionary Baptist Church, Springfield, Missouri, I learned who He was, because He was the one I was praying to. And the amazing thing is, when I would say, God save me, actually I was going through Jesus Christ, because it says, no man can come unto the Father except by me. Who said that? Jesus did. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we will see that they were all there in the beginning. And as I said, God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, which is the Word, which is Jesus. Now, let's go a little bit further here. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, it's hard for me sometimes to understand how three can be one, one can be three, and how they can work in unison. But the Bible tells me, and I think it's over in John, it says that God is a spirit. And he that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are we able to do that? Now, let's take a look at this. We are earthly. The Bible says we come from our mother's womb speaking lies. Few days and full of trouble. It's because of what we are, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We know the story. But I do have a remedy, and there is not I have, God has a remedy for that separation that happened in the garden, and it goes back to Jesus. Jesus will save the sinner through the Spirit. Now, as I said, God said that He was a spirit. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and him who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. What's a spirit? I know in different places within the King James Version, it says, it uses the word Holy Ghost and things like that. The Spirit is something that you cannot touch with your hands. Like the wind. Because if you look up Spirit, it refers to breath, the breath of God. Can you touch the wind? No. You think you feel it. You feel the results. Can you see gravity? I've been thinking about gravity a lot here lately, and of course it's working on me because it cools you down. But I've yet to find any definition of gravity that fully explains how it operates. You know how it operates? By the Spirit of God. He is a wonderful being. Now, in the beginning, before the beginning of the earth, before what we know is the start, God has always been. And I like what your pastor says, in past eternity, He's always been. There was a decision made that this world would be built, and there would be and they knew that there would be a time when man would fall. They already knew that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit already knew that and knew that that was going to happen. So there was already one chosen that would redeem or buy back that which was lost in the garden, and that was Jesus. For those of you who are saved, who do you pray to? Do you pray to God? Do you pray to Jesus? Or do you pray to the Spirit? I always say, dear God, because those all three are one. The hour that I got saved, the one that I was seeking was actually Jesus, because the Bible says no man can come unto the Father but by me. Why would I go to Jesus? Why would I not just say, well, forget you, Jesus, forget you, Spirit, and let's pray to God? Well, I said that God is a spirit, and him who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, I have to acknowledge that while I'm praying. God the Father is the maker of all, and he has a son. And it's not in the way that you and I understand a son. I am Harry and Hazel's oldest son. Now, they both passed away. They were my parents. I can take you to where we put them in the ground. But I am a child of Jesus, of God and the Spirit. Now, he said the same was in the beginning with God. Now, in verse 3 of John chapter 1, it says, all things were made by him. Let me start again. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know that when, and I realize that over in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, there was without form, void, darkness upon the face of the deep. God, you know, spoke light into his existence. It wasn't the light that we know, because later on he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. What it was is the light. It was Jesus illuminating. One more thing I'd like to talk to you about is that when I started this a while ago, when I go to pray, I pray to through Jesus. Why would I do that? Well, you see, Jesus is the mediator because he died for your sins. Therefore, he is the one that I go to because he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. So I have to pray through Jesus, through the Spirit. Do you know you have a spirit about you? You are twofold. And ladies, I'll say the word man, and that's just not relevant because you are the same. I know you're built physically a little different, but the bottom line is you need to be saved and you need to go to heaven with all the rest of us. I realize that God calls his church the bride, which is more of a feminine. Can you say it? Feminine? Okay, I'm old. I can make mistakes. That side. But still, yet the bottom line is that he died for everybody. And he calls everybody. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And I don't believe that's about the call to the ministry. I believe that Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. You know, some people today say that all you have to do is just accept the word, and therefore you're okay. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Again, as I quoted a while ago, that the Bible tells us that it is saved by grace through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's not of what you can do. Yes, I was baptized as a boy, but it was after I was saved. We went out to James River. If you are familiar with James River in Springfield, it's getting pretty dirty. But as a boy, which was a long time ago, and I said it was in 1965, I was baptized in November, and it was cold that day. And the water was cold, and there was three of us that went out to the water's edge with the preacher. His name was Webb Foster. He was about 9'12". I mean, he was tall. And I was still 10 years old, so I hadn't reached my growth. I was about as tall as my granddaughter at that time. And I remember when he went to baptize me, he stuck his hand into the sky, and it was cloudy that day, and wind was blowing, it was cold. It was November, back when November used to be cold. And I remember him saying this. He said, "I baptize thee, my brethren, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." I realized that when he reached up, he looked like he was touching the clouds to me. He was such a tall man. Anybody ever knew him? He was from Polk County. But they put me under the water and came back up, and I had never done this before or have since. I left my eyes open when they took me down. I could see the water rush in front of me. I could still see that tall man. And when I come out, I was still the same boy. I was still the same sinner saved by grace. I was still Terry Lee Nicodemus, but I had followed my master. And I said master. You see, in this day and time, master don't really mean as much as it did when back in the day before this turned gray. He was my master. He is now. He is my Lord and Savior. He is my guide. He is my help. He is my friend. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible says he's as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have a brother. I have no sisters. The only female in my life are, And I have a daughter. I have two daughters. One lives in Missouri. One lives in Georgia. One day I'll die. And their earthly father will die. My heavenly father is alive today. Let's talk about that for a little bit. God has always been, and it's hard for you and I to understand. It is for me anyway. You must be a lot smarter than me. And it's hard for me to understand how something has no beginning and no end. With me, there was a beginning. With this earth, there was a beginning. With you, there was a beginning. With God, there is no beginning. I like what this gentleman I've been following him a little bit on YouTube. God is not held by, I can't remember all three of them, but space and matter. In other words, he doesn't live within time. This God that you worship doesn't live in time, so therefore, if it's 3 a.m. and you want to talk to God, you know what? He's right there. Sheila and I used to live in Florida, and it's amazing to me how that the same God I talked to in Missouri was there in Florida. As you know, and I've showed you the slides here, we went to Ghana, West Africa. That same God that was here in Missouri, was there too. Did you know that? I remember praying to him during the service that day, one night when there was people on the altar trying to seek God. And he revealed to me that one lady, I just knew she was going to get saved that night. I can't tell you how I know that. I may be psycho, but I'm not a psychic. I just don't know. But it came to me that, and I said it out loud, God, you're going to save her tonight. She was praying in her own language, which there in that part of Ghana, which is Kumasi, they speak what's called Twi, language, and it just sounded like a bunch of garbage to me. I couldn't understand it. They tried to teach it to me, and it was like making a blind man see. I couldn't speak it. But she was pouring her heart out to God. And she found God that night. How did I know that she was going to get saved? Well, God answered my prayer. Oh, you mean this God that you talk about that we worship, He answers prayers? Yes, He does. You want to look at the front side of the church here. There's a lady sitting up front here that was to die. Doctors came to me and he said, she's not going to make it. You might start getting things in order. I went ahead and did what he said and planned her funeral. And I think I did good. She liked what the songs I picked. How do you go to your spouse and say, this is what I was going to do for you, you're dying, you know? But prayers are answered. May not be exactly what you want or I want, but it'll be what he wants. And why does he do things? What I saw a gentleman on the YouTube talking about asking this little child that had cancer. He said, why did God let you have cancer? I like the answer. To glorify him. Why do we go through things? Why did we go through heartaches, troubles, trials? Well, the main reason is because we live in a sinful world. I like what my mom always said. She said, you know, it's because of sin that we go through what we go through. Have you been sick? Have you been worried? Have you had cancer? Have you had broken bones? I saw a brother with the thing on his arm. I had one of those too. You go through a lot of pain, at least I did, when you had that done. I got hurt so bad it scared my wife. She called an ambulance. The guys come in and they go, you had some shoulder surgery? I said, yeah, it hurts like the dickens, doesn't it? Well, yeah, it hurts. That's why she called you. Because the pain was coming. See, they put a block in there and all that. But who helped me through even that? It's because God answers prayers. Now, let's sum all this up. I didn't keep you long today. First of all, God is a spirit, and him who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. His son says, no man can come unto me except God who sent me draw him. And again, God is a spirit. And do you know that he, as it said here, he created this world? He hung it in nothingness. Now, how could that be? It's because it's God. He hung this world out here. Why did he do that? Why is there troubles and trials? Why does he bless us? All these kind of things. It's to glorify him. He is a jealous God. Well, some people say, well, that's his problem. No, it's our problem. We are the sinners. We are the ones that have betrayed him. We are the ones that, and I'm not trying to put you down because God loved you so he saved your soul. And he saved mine as a 10-year-old boy. Oops, I said 65, 10 years old. Ooh, that makes me. Well, anyway, at least I'm not as old as my wife. Oops. Can I go home with one of you guys? I'm in trouble. But anyway, sum this up is that God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth, the one we go to for salvation, the one that is our mediator, the one that's sitting at the right hand of God today is a being named Jesus. Well, we access him through the Spirit, and he, being Jesus, pleads our case before the Almighty God. And he's not like the Wizard of Oz. He's in such a green and fire going. He's a very loving father. Do you know that when you were conceived, he knew you? Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. You may, but I don't believe in abortion. Because even the Bible's to tell, who was it, Job that he told? One of them in the Bible, he said, in thy mother's womb I knew you. He knew me. And he knew upon this day I'd be standing before you talking about God. So as we leave here today, when that happens, be assured that this Jesus, this God, the Spirit, is there for you. He's not against you. He is for you. If God be for you, who should be against you? Now, who shall be against you? God is there for you. And if you have problems, which we all do in life, I do. I got a bum knee. This hurts. That hurts. Me and my granddaughter kid around that I'm a grown-up because I groan when I get up. Right? Yep. It's the truth. God is a spirit, and he who worship him must worship him in spirit and good. God loves you. I know we heard that all the time. I remember even as a boy, people put them on their bumper stickers. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You know what? He does love you. Not with lust that you and I deal with. I worked with a guy down here at Consumers Market in Bolivar for several years, and he said one day, and he was looking out the window, we had a break room up high, and we could see you, and you couldn't see us because it was one of those mirror things. And he said, "Oh, I'm in lust with her." And I said, "John, you're right. You are." But there's something about a saved person. You know, the song goes, "Makes me love everybody." I do, especially when I'm going down the street or going down the road. Now, when I get road rage, oops, I didn't say that. I have to stop and remind myself, that person has a soul, and that person may not even know what they did, but boy, I'm mad. I could run over them. Ugh. Do you know that, take this down. Do you know that sometimes when somebody pulls out in front of you and slows you down on the highway, God did that to protect you from a wreck up down the road? It's the truth. I don't know how many times in life, especially when I was traveling across this country with the work that I did, and things would happen like that, and they would, you know, be in front of me. I had one guy in Florida that... Anyway, I just slowed down. Got down the road and you could see a wreck happen. God was protecting you. So there's really no room for road rage in our vocabulary. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And if you get saved, which will be through Jesus Christ, you have a home awaiting for you in the heavens not made with hands. You have a place prepared for you that is perfect. I'm looking forward to that new home. Had somebody one time say, "Well, have you ever seen it?" No. I know what the Bible says. And what he went to prepare a place for me, that if he goes up there and prepares that, he'll come back and get me. He's going to get me one day. I don't mean he'd get me. I mean take me home. On the day that you might hear in church or hear on the news that Terry Nicodemus has passed away, he's died. He either had a heart attack or he had a car wreck or he just gave it up. But before you even hear it, you know where I'm at? I'm in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that when that Lazarus died, I'll never forget this story. Oh, it's true. That Lazarus died and he was carried. Carried. The day my mama died, me and Tammy, Hazelin's mom, was sitting there in that room after mom had passed away. She was, her dead corpse was there, and we were just talking. And I like something that she said. She says, "Daddy, do you think that Grandma Nick," that's what we call her because we're Nicodemus, "Grandma Nick shouted all the way to heaven?" I said, "If she had the ability she did, I hope I can." I don't know how far heaven is from here, do you? Do you have that plotted out in miles, inches, and feet? No. Or they do today, meters and kilo, whatever it is. I always say, talk American, because I don't know that stuff. But one day, I'm going to go home. I know that's not been a lot, but it's kind of scattered. But friends, we have a friend in Jesus. That's the home. The ones that raised me are dead. The preacher that preached, both preachers that preached to me that night, which was Brother Webb Foster and Brother Junior Ingram, they're both dead. My parents are dead. Most of that church that was there that night are dead. But my Redeemer liveth. You know, I'm waiting now to go home. So are you. And I don't mean the house wherever you live at. I don't know where any of you live, but two people that's here today. But when I go home, to my long home, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying over there. I won't hurt. I won't have to see a surgeon. I won't have to do this. Do you know there'll be no graves over there? There was a song that Ralph Stanley used to sing, and we've sung it, called Glory Land. It says, if you have friends that have died because of pain, and it goes on and talks about they're in Glory Land. If you're not saved by the grace of God, I hope you get saved one day. It could be today, it could be next year, it could be next month, just as long as it's before either you die or he comes back to get us. Because, you know, once that death comes, there's no more chances. I know there's all sorts of theories out there, but my Bible tells me that that's it. The rich man lifted up his eyes in torments because he wasn't saved. Lazarus looked across the great gulf that was fixed because he was with Abraham. He saw hell, but he was in heaven. You know, that's, as I said a while ago, that's where Jesus went, and he's preparing it. He'd been gone 2,000 years. Wow, he must really be doing a lot of work. You think about that, 2,000 years. Of course, you have to remember that where he is, there is no time. Because the Bible says that with God, a year is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, or a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But he's going to prepare that for us. A beautiful, serene place. I always like to go down, I like water. When Sheila and I lived in Florida, a lot of times on Friday when the kids were in school, or Tammy was in school, we'd drive over to New Smyrna Beach, which is getting really full of people now, but back then there wasn't a lot of people knew about it. And I'd watch that ocean, those waves. Now I remember the Bible verse that tells us that there'll be no more sea over there. I don't know why. He just said there'll be no more sea. It's going to be a beautiful place. Aren't you just kind of homesick? I get that way. I get thinking, man, I'd like to see it. Pray for your pastor and that he'll be back. As far as I know, next Sunday, he'll bring you a good sermon. He always does. He's a good man, him and his wife, Shirley, and the boys.